And we're in. Is everybody in? Has everybody gathered around the old magic talking radio box? Because it's time again for me, Tobe. What time is it? Sometime after 1930 UTC. You're listening to Anon Radio. And last night I was chatting with SMJ in comm, and he mentioned that his printer slash copier wasn't working, and I was trying to give him some hints as to how to get that back into working order. Why would I do this? Well, it turns out that I do know a little bit something about copier repair and printer repair. They're kind of the same thing. Because I used to work for Pitney Bowes, and this was some years ago, and I worked in their copier division, fixing copiers. I was copier repairman, and that was a strangely fun job. I liked it because, you know, everywhere you go, you're the hero. You know, if some company's calling in, you know, their machine, it's usually because, oh no, it's down and they need it and they're freaking out. And boy, when you show up and you're at the front desk, can I help you? Hi, I'm copier repairman, and oh my god, thank god you're here. Thank you, copier repairman, save us. Oh, I will. And so that was one of the perks. You know, the funny thing is I sort of didn't really know what I was doing. I don't have any experience doing that stuff, and I only got the job because, you know, I really like copiers, and I've been using them for a long time, and I get it, you know, I understand how they work, and I can just take stuff apart and understand, oh, okay, I get it. I don't need to know what it is, it works, I get it. Stuff turns, there's electricity, you know, it's not tough. And the guy, when he was interviewing me, my boss, my future boss, he's like, well, if I showed you this, can you tell me what's wrong with the machine? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, those little wires, you got to replace them, blah, blah, blah. He's like, how do you know this? Well, just, you know, experience working the copier and, you know, failure, blah, blah, blah. He's like, okay, well, you want a job? And I'm like, sure. And he says, okay, here's a briefcase full of money. Here's a briefcase full of some really sweet tools. And here's a car. Go do stuff. Okay. Yeah, you know, before that, I only had jobs where, you know, I ring stuff up and tell people, okay, the total's 1034. Thank you. You know, so that's not entirely true. I've had a lot of really weird jobs, but this is my first real big boy job. Here you go. Here's a car. Okay. So one day, and this is after I'd been working there for a while, and again, I'm the copier guy, but we had a meeting in the morning and just a technicians meeting, and while we were talking about stuff, they turned to me and say, oh, by the way, we need you to drive up to Denison, Iowa, you know, 90, 100 miles away, and fix a fax machine up there at the UPS facility. And I said, well, I don't know anything about how to fix fax machines, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, it's a little copier, right? So, duh. Well, I don't know anything about fax machines. There's, you know, there's a modem, too, and, you know, stuff. Like, see that machine? They said, see that machine over there? I'm like, yeah. And I'm looking at a fax machine sitting on somebody's desks. And they go, ha, you looked. You're trained on it now. And that was a really annoying inside joke in our company, but it was also a strange truth. If you looked at a machine, that meant you were sufficiently trained. I guess that was just, you know, the matter of trust that you must be smart enough to be able to figure it out. So, oh god, it got me into some hairy situations like this one. So they say, okay, it's not going to be any problem. All you got to do, you got to go up to Missouri Valley anyway to fix a machine. Just drive another hour up the highway. Okay. What's the problem with the machine? Well, they called in a code, and the code was a laser code. So all you got to do is take the cover off the machine, take the laser out, put in this new laser. They hand me the new laser module, and it's this black wedge of plastic and whatever. Okay, just got three little mounting, or maybe four little mounting screws. Okay, no problem. I can work a Phillips head screwdriver. I can fix a fax machine. And so can you. And then they said, yeah, just replace the laser, put the cover back on, turn the machine on, go into maintenance mode, reset the code, turn the machine back off, turn it back on, and it'll start right up. No problem. It'll spit out a diagnostic sheet to tell you that something went wrong. It'll tell you the codes, and then it'll tell you the new laser was replaced, and you'll know it's working, and you're ready to go. I said, I don't know. It sounds a little bit too easy. No, it's super easy. You can do it. Okay, I can do it. Plus, if there's any kind of problem, all you just call this 800 number. Okay, what's this 800 number? They hand me this card, and it's the national tech support line for fax department nationally. I can't even remember what it's called. But and when I say it's tech support, it's not tech support open to the public. It's tech support for technicians only. You know, it's the secret phone number. And I'm like, wow, I get the secret phone number. I love the secret phone numbers. So they convince me, and I drive up to Missouri Valley, this first little town. It's about 30 minutes out. Fix their machine, doo-doo-doo-doo, and then drive up to Denison, find the UPS facility, and there's a guy there. It's like, oh, great, fax guy. We need our fax machine. You're our hero, blah, blah, blah. And take me into the office, and they say, here's the machine. And I'm like, great, I'll fix this right away. This is a laser code that it's been giving us, and all we need to do is replace the laser, because I have no idea what I'm doing or talking about, but it sure sounds like I do now, just repeating what they told me. So I go through the rigmarole. I take the old laser out, I put the new laser in, put the machine back together, power it back up, go into maintenance mode, reset the code, turn the machine off, turn the machine back on again, and boom, it doesn't work. It pops the same code. Okay, great. Now what do? I turn the machine off, turn it back on again. Let's get the code. I take the machine apart. I take the laser out. I put the laser back in again, make sure it's connected all right and screwed in there correctly. It's fine. Put it back together. It still pops the code. I'm like, oh my God, I'm screwed. And now the UPS guy is looking at me going, yeah, fixing the machine, are we? Yeah. Yep, no problem. Look how cool I look with this screwdriver. Because, you know, it's magnetic. Woo-hoo. Magnets. So, yeah, I take out the card with the 800 number. And I call the National Tech Support Line, and I get some guy. And he's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm working on a 9230 or was it 9220, I can't remember, one of the 9200s, and it popped this code, the E-07. He's like, oh yeah, that's a laser code. So I replaced the laser, and when I powered it back up again, it gave me the same code. It's like, oh well, did you go into the maintenance mode and reset it? You know, and in the background, I can hear everybody's favorite Russian folk song, the Korobyaniki. You know it. Because these guys are playing Tetris in the background. They're not paying any attention to what I'm talking about. And I tell them, yes, I went through the whole rigmarole. I turned it off, turned it back on, went into maintenance mode, reset the codes, and when I turned it back off to power it back up, it did not power back. It popped the code again. It's like, oh, well, that's weird. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. It's like, wait a minute. What are you working on again? A 9500, 9550? Like, no, a 9230. He's like, oh, yeah, hold on a second. I think we got something about that. I'm like, okay. So, you know, I can hear him talking to another guy in the room, and he's like, hey, Dave, or whatever, what was that thing about the 9200s? And I can't hear what he's saying exactly because I can still hear the Tetris going in the background. And finally, the guy comes back on the line and he says, oh, yeah, we've gotten a couple reports about this. This is something a little weird. I'm like, okay, what do I need? What's the deal here? It's like, is the machine sitting on a hard surface? And I was thinking, what? And I said, no, it's on a shelf. It's on a wooden shelf that is kind of flimsy, but I mean, it holds it, but not like, you know, rock solid. It's not like a lab table. It's like, oh, are you like, is there a hard surface nearby? I mean, is there like a cement floor? I'm like, yeah, it's like a paved cement floor here that's polished and it's real smooth and like epoxy coated paint. You know what I'm talking about. It's a garage, right? He's like, yeah, okay, here's what we want you to do. Take the machine off the shelf and put it on the floor. You can unplug it. It doesn't need to be powered up. And I'm like, okay. He says, yeah. And once you got it on the floor, pick it up about, 4 or 5 inches and drop it. I swear to God, that's what he tells me to do. And I'm incredulous, as you must be now. And I said, I'm sorry, you want me to do what? He says, yeah. Just pick it up, you know, like 3 or 4 inches or so. It doesn't have to be, I mean, you know, not real high or anything. Just 3 or 4 inches and just drop it. And, with the paper tray in it. Leave the paper tray in and just drop it. Are you serious? Yeah, just do it. So, hold on a second. I take the machine off the shelf. I put it on the floor. Pick it up, I drop it, it goes wham, and I put it back up on the shelf. And the UPS guy is watching me the whole time, just going, what? He was thinking the same thing I'm thinking. But I'm the facts guy, I'm the expert, I know what's going on. When I clearly have no clue. And I just get back on the phone with the guy. I'm like, okay, well, now what? He's like, yeah, well, no, power it back up. And I power it back up, and I got the code. He's like, yeah, okay, now go into maintenance mode, reset the code, turn it off, turn it back on again. So I go into maintenance mode, I reset the code, I turn the machine off, I turn it back on, and I swear to God, the machine starts right up and start spitting out the 2 pages that it's supposed to spit out. And I'm on the phone and I'm telling the guy, I'm like, oh my God, it works. And I'm looking at the UPS guy and he's just mouthing the words, are you kidding me? to me, and I'm just shrugging. There's nothing I can do at this point. I mean, it's so obvious that there's something weird going on that no amount of fake professionalism is going to cover this one up, because I'm starting to laugh too. And so I'm asking the guy on the phone, okay, what's this all about? He's like, yeah, okay, this is kind of weird, but these lasers, they're reconditioned. These corporate accounts, they get these reconditioned lasers, and that's why you save these lasers and you ship them back to us. Blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out that this last batch of lasers we got, there's an adhesive that they put on the rotating mirror or the rotating prism for shipping purposes so that this thing doesn't rotate while in shipment. And I'm thinking, well, this is weird. And I'm telling the guy, well, then why would you glue it? That makes no sense. It's like, well, it's not very strong glue. And so it's just there to keep it from rotating in shipment. And then when the machine starts up after it's installed, it's supposed to break that seal and spin freely. Okay, well, it turns out they used too strong of glue. So they used too strong of glue. It kept the motor from spinning, and it pops the code. And so it dropping the machine imparts enough force to break the glue so that the motor will spin freely again. This is absolutely true. I swear to God, this is a true story. And so I was one of the first few people to run into this problem. And I actually had to take this back to my office and tell people about this because we ran into this problem some more. We started getting calls from the guys who normally work on fax machines saying, we're having a problem with these lasers we're getting. What's going on? It's like, okay, pick up the machine and drop it. And you're like, you're kidding. No. And I had to talk to a bunch of guys because the word then gets out, you know, talk to this guy because he had that problem. Oh my God, it was crazy. Nobody would believe it. You know, okay, pick up the machine and drop it. And it would work. The machine would just start right back up. About a month later, we finally got a tech fax. There was an official a document went out to everybody in the world who worked on these things that there was a problem with these lasers. And so if you got any of these lasers that are between serial number this and serial number that, and in the future, serial number after this will be marked with a red X with magic marker, you need to take this laser and wrap it sharply with the handle of a screwdriver. This was the actual technical note. They said, take it out of the box and hit it. That was the technical solution to this problem. And so they, when they were reconditioning the lasers with the two sticky glue, they would then mark the laser, they would mark on the laser with a red X where to hit it. I swear to God, you take these out, there's a red X on it, you go, okay, you take a screwdriver and you go, whack! You put it in the machine and it works fine. Oh, and then on some occasions, that first whack, you wouldn't hit it hard enough. You'd put it in the machine, it would pop the code, you'd go, oh, I didn't hit it hard enough. You'd take the laser back out, hit it again really hard, whack, 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 with the screwdriver. Everybody in the office is looking at you like you're freaking nuts. You put it back in, starts up. Have a nice day, folks. Glad I could fix that fax for you. True story. And this is so typical of some of the just how life in being a technician is. You don't have to know anything because nobody else knows anything. Just swagger. Just talk big, explain things to people, tell the truth, and fix crap. It doesn't take much. It sure as hell doesn't take a degree. You just gotta be sharper than the average laser that needs to be hit with a hammer. Cause I'm the fax man. Yeah, I'm the fax man. I would walk into people's offices singing that song at the top of my lungs. I was everybody's favorite fax and copier repairman just because I was crazy and obnoxious and didn't even need to know what I was doing. It gets weirder. When I was working at this company, one day, we were having another meeting. All the technicians were sitting around a table and, you know, the bosses are sitting around and blah, 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 and they're doing computer stuff. And this is back in the era when copiers were starting to be hooked up to computers and everybody who worked there. And I was the youngest guy there by like 20 years. And all these people had no computer experience whatsoever. And so the big boss sits down one day and he's talking computer stuff, and I'm keeping my mouth shut because I'm only getting paid to be a technician. I'm not getting paid to be the computer guy. And the boss finally is going around the table trying to ask people, you know, what do you know about computers? Do you know anything? Because we're going to sell copiers. We got to hook them up, blah, 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 network them, blah, blah, blah. You know, and this is no big deal. It's not any different than setting up a printer. Except you have the extra step of you got to put a special board on the back of the copier and hook it up and then hook it up to the network. No big deal, right? something you do every day, but oh my God, this was a huge hassle and a huge scary thing for everybody. And somehow, and I'm not sure how it happened, but the conversation turned to Unix, and the big boss, the guy who is running the whole show, he says to me, "Hey, Tobe, do you know Unix?" And, you know, just off the top of my head, being the comedy guy that I am, I said, "Oh, sure, man, what else is there to know?" And I laughed, and nobody knows what I'm talking about, and everybody's silent and blank, and everybody's looking at me. And that's how I became the Unix guru at my old job, even though I knew just barely more than nothing. And I managed to pull a few tricks here and there, and everybody's real impressed that I can do things like ls-al. It's like, wow, look at all those files. And I know cd, I can change directories, look. And everybody's impressed and ooh and ah, wow, you're some kind of computer genius. Well, I wish I was computer genius. And that eventually backfired. I had to do all the computer stuff, and then when we really got into computers, then they decided to hire an IT guy. We need to hire an IT guy. And I'm not joking when I say we went through IT guys like you wouldn't believe. They wouldn't last a month. And every time there was a new IT guy, he could put up with the crazy for about a month and then bail out. And then, of course, who gets to be the interim IT guy? That's right, me. So now I got two offices. Now I got to spend some time in this other crappy office that's in this cinder block thing, and there's nothing, and it sounds weird because it's all echoey. And yeah, I sat around and going tecka 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 on keyboards all day, and I call up tech support, and these guys didn't know anything either, and half the time I was telling them stuff that I found. Oh, you know that stupid rigmarole that you told us to do? Well, if we just go in and type this at the command line, it works. And that was the main problem, is we'd get all this stuff handed down to us saying, okay, we got to go install these things on these machines or go flash these machines, and they would give us some bizarre way to go about doing it. So you'd have to plug in a flash card or a jump drive or something, and then you'd have to open up Windows and do all this stupid crap, and it most of the time it wouldn't work, and you'd have to reboot everything, and you had to reboot everything in the right order, and these techniques never worked. And these were developed by guys who didn't know anything about computers. And it just turns out that you can just go down onto the command line, you know, open up a terminal window, get yourself a command line, and then just copy these files that are on the flash drive into this directory with one command, and suddenly everything works fine. Well, I figured that out one time, and, you know, I was telling the guys at tech support about it, and they're like, oh, can you write us up a TPS report about that? And I'm like, oh, God damn it. I had to write a lot of reports and do all this weird stuff and then fax them to these guys, and then everybody in the whole country then finds out, oh, here's the easier way to do it. And then they say, and if you can't figure out or if it doesn't work, call this guy in Omaha. So, you know, I'm getting calls from guys all over, oh, yeah, I can help you with that, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just type this in. And they don't know anything either. I mean, they know less than I do. So you got to start them off with, okay, find something called the terminal program, and it's probably in this menu. Okay, I found it. Open that up, click on that. Okay, now type this. Now type that. Now hit return, and you're done. Close those windows.
Wait, you don't have to do the flash and gotta plug in the thing and turn on.
No, you don't have to do any of that. We're skipping all that. We're doing it the cool guy way now. And it was a crazy job. It was fun in a weird way because I don't know how to describe it. I had to go to all these weird places and meet all these fun people and do stuff. My territory was half of Iowa, and the half of Iowa that I was in was like the really rural half, which is most of Iowa. Don't get me wrong. There's cities in Iowa, but not where I am. I'm the closest city to Iowa. So my job is to drive around in Iowa and go to all these places, and one of the coolest things about it was going to all the, and this sounds crazy, but going to all the farmers' co-ops, going to all the grain elevators and all this stuff, because you pull up and it's this dusty, crazy thing from 100 years ago, and there's corn laying around and it's dirty, and there's a loading dock, and you can kind of smell cow poop and pig poop from far away blowing in on the wind, and all you can hear are red-winged blackbirds. And you walk in, and it's about the most high-tech thing you've ever seen. You know, there's monitors everywhere. It looks like a trading floor on Wall Street, because it's a trading floor, except it's just in Essex, Iowa, population 800, and not, you know, New York City. It's not the Chicago Board of Trade, but these guys are moving corn. And the other best part about it is, these guys are trading, they're screaming their heads off, they're freaking out, but they're not dressed like the goofballs you see on, you know, the financial TV channels where those guys are wearing those weird coats and they're screaming. No, these are all farmers, and they all got on overalls and t-shirts and seed caps. You know, they're wearing the baseball caps that have logos of corn companies and specific, what's the word I'm looking for? My vocabulary is failing. The special strains of corn that these guys grow. You know, they get, hey, you're going to plant 600 acres of such and such type of corn here. Have a free hat. And so you got all these guys in the corn hats and the seed hats and all this stuff, and they're losing their minds, trading corn futures and stuff and feeder cattle. Do you know what feeder cattle are? Hell, I live in Nebraska. I didn't know what they were until I started talking to these guys. You know, these are cows that, they're adult cows, and almost, they're like teenager cows. You got to feed them, then you take them to market, hence feeder cows. And it's pretty exciting. And these guys are really desperate to have their fax machines and their copiers working. So when you show up in your, you know, purple shiny silk tie and your green shirt, they think you look a little weird, but they are damn glad to see you. Oh, and then there's always somebody there making food. These guys, you know, there's no restaurants in these tiny little communities, and so, you know, these guys all hang out, you know, they work all morning for 8 hours, they get up 3 hours before dawn, and then do their farmer stuff and rancher stuff, and then they go to the elevator and trade and hang out and eat lunch. And these guys, I swear to God, I've pulled up to these places, they're roasting whole hogs in the back. Hey, you want something to eat? I'm like, oh, I don't want to impose. Oh no, we got a whole damn pig out there, come on. And they go out there, and there's a damn pig on a spit, and they take a fork, and they start pulling pork off the pig onto a bun. They hand you the sandwich, here you go. And oh my God, it's so good, you would freak. Well, unless you're a vegetarian, then yeah, you're probably not going to freak, but the food is good in rural Iowa, and they're trying to make you eat a lot. And because these are guys who eat a lot, they got to eat 6,000 calories so they can work all day. Oh my God, I can't even describe the amount of food that these guys put down, but it's really awesome. And everywhere you go, now this is where they're like, what they're like. I highly recommend driving through Iowa and finding small towns, because it's a hoot. And then once you get close to my side of Iowa, I live in Nebraska, and I just hop across the river, then you get into the Luss Hills. And if you know what Luss is, it is awesome. The Luss Hills here by me are one of only two places in the world where Luss Hills are found. The other place is in China. And I'm sure Handy C can tell you all about Luss Hills. I'm going to tell you about Luss Hills, but not today. Today, unfortunately, I'm running out of time. You've been listening to me drone on and on about my fun copier and fax repairman career. It was always hilarious. But I gotta go right now. I will talk to you tomorrow.